Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the CONCACAF Nations League final preview. The USMNT and Mexico revitalized their rivalry Sunday night. And also we have the consolation game as Honduras face Costa Rica. We got former USMNT stars Jimmy Conrad and Heath Pierce to break it all down. Analysis, betting tips, and much, much more. Qué Golazo, CONCACAF Nations League final preview begins right now. This Sunday, one of the world's fiercest international rivalries takes center stage as the USMNT take Mexico with the Nations League Championship Trophy on the line in Denver. Will it be Greg Berhalter's squad and his first major trophy as head coach, or will Tata Martino and El Tri keep continuing their message to say we are the kings of CONCACAF? The young Americans, boosted by the presence of Champions League winner Christian Pulisic, are looking to win their first major trophy since 2013 against a very talented Mexico side, which includes Irvin Chucky Lozano. Meanwhile, Costa Rica and Honduras face off in the third place game for the consolation bragging rights. Stream both matches live on Paramount Plus. Head to ParamountPlus.com/Nations League to get started. Hey everybody, welcome to Qué Golazo CONCACAF Nations League final. This is the preview, the USMNT against El Tri, Mexico, Sunday night. You can watch it on Paramount Plus, of course, 9 p.m. Eastern. We also have the third place matchup, Honduras against Costa Rica. Jimmy Conrad in the house. Jimmy C, wearing stars and stripes. What's up, man?
What's up? What's going on, everybody listening at home? We're happy to have you join us for this big preview. This is a really meaningful game for both countries, but I think a little bit more for the U.S. because I feel like under Tata Martino, Mexico already has an identity of how they want to play, and that's been proven given the fact that they've won so many games under him. But then with the U.S., I feel like we're still trying to identify who we are, how we're going to play in certain situations, and who our best 11 is. So I'm very excited for this one.
Absolutely. Heath Pierce in the house too. How's it going, man? Are you ready?
Yeah, I am ready. I thought, you know, today was going to be my off day, Luis. I threw on my Hard Rock Cafe t-shirt, was going to wander around with my fanny pack, you know, pick up some new souvenirs in a new city, maybe stop by Jimmy's favorite restaurant here in Denver, go to the Hard Rock Denver, get a new t-shirt. But here we are talking about U.S.-Mexico, which is what we all anticipated. Obviously, we'll touch on the consolation game as well. But yeah, really exciting time.
You lost everybody at fanny pack. I don't even know what you're saying anymore.
Listen,
you're a grown ass man. You're not wearing a fanny pack anymore.
I got an old school Hard Rock Cafe t-shirt. I collect them. You know, I'm a dad of three. I collect Hard Rock Cafe t-shirts in my cities of travel. I wear a fanny pack. I'll probably go out with
socks. You have Tevas? Are you wearing Tevas and socks?
No, but there's a lot of people in Tevas here. But I might wear like the maybe some Birkenstocks with socks, some calf socks. But
you
should be
in that commercial, right? When you're turning into your parents.
Yeah.
Do you have a live, love, and laugh poster on your wall as well?
Yeah, no, I travel with one. I put it up everywhere I go. You know, unfortunately, you know, Luis, as the producer, you know, of this podcast, decided to say that we're not going to have that one on today. I had to take it down, but now I've got this beautiful backdrop that looks like I'm somewhere like Vail, Colorado, or something like that. But I'm really, this was like a little coffee bar, and I turned it into my own studio, so I'm thriving.
You did, you did, and I'm so excited to have both of you here. Of course, we have the CONCACAF Nations League USMNT against Mexico. So let's get straight into it, Jimmy Conrad. This is the big game. You mentioned, of course, you made a good point, right? Mexico already kind of know who they are under Tata, but this is it. Greg Berhalter's chance for his first major trophy as head coach. Let's begin with setting the scene here. What do you expect from this squad, even before the lineups, just how they're getting ready for this one? What do you expect?
I would like to see some answers, I guess, to some questions that I have. And I referenced this in our podcast last night in the recap. When I've seen us play Mexico before, we try to go and do our plan A and our plan A and plan A. And when our plan A goes away, and Mexico is very good at taking that away, we try to obviously keep the ball in most situations. What are we going to do? What's our plan B? And is everybody on the same page with that plan B? Because I was there in New York when Mexico slapped us around 3-0. And I'm trying to think of a better word, a softer word, but I was disgusted with how we played. When Zach Steffen gets more touches on the ball than Christian Pulisic, that's a problem. Something's not working right. And we would need to work around that to figure out how we can change. And when I look at the stats last night, I then learned after our podcast last night that Christian Pulisic was the person had the second fewest touches on the field. Now, I know he's having a long trip, and I know he's going to have some kind of emotional letdown from winning the Champions League. That's just a normal human being response. But we got to figure out a way we can get him the ball in areas where he can be dangerous. And I think that's going to be a big challenge for us, not only against Mexico, but any big-time opponents we're playing moving forward in meaningful games. And I include big-time opponents going on the road in CONCACAF to try to dig something out. How do we get our best players on the ball doing what they do best? That's going to be the biggest challenge for us against Mexico. And I'm curious, I know we're not getting to the starting lineup yet, but who are we going to start to make sure that we get those situations in, or more favorable situations for us? So it looks like we're running downhill. We're getting our best players running at that Mexican back line, because I think we can create some chances and I think we can get opportunities. And then, of course, it's having the composure to finish off those opportunities.
Yeah, that Pulisic point there, Jimmy, the player with the second fewest touches, is a little bit alarming, especially because one of those touches, it was a great through ball, I believe, and it nearly capitalized in a goal. Heath, what do you make of that?
Yeah, you know, the Pulisic situation is tough, right? Because as Jimmy said, getting them in the best places to do what they can do or do their best. And I think we were not getting players in the right positions in spots on the field to be dangerous. Now, part of Pulisic not having that many touches is going to come down to some fatigue, right? And I was told by a few people within the organization of U.S. soccer that Pulisic was tired, but you know, this is a game that you get up for. It's a semifinal for something big, but they also weren't getting him into good spots. And he looked like he was having to sort of drift around to find the ball, as opposed to finding him in good spaces where, again, I think the U.S. is best when they press well. And I don't think they press well. When they press well together, they get into spots where they are now attacking with speed. You have Gio Reyna, you have Christian Pulisic, who are some of the best young players in the world, if not the best players in the world, at running at guys, making them have to make decisions, running at them, creating chaos. But if you allow a team to recover and sit back and you're trying to break them down in the same way that Mexico might press, Mexico might drop. You have to have another option, as Jimmy mentioned. It can't just be plan A. If it's plan B, are you utilizing the wide spaces? You know, you have Sergiño Dest when he was on the other side, struggled to use the wide spaces. Anthony Robinson struggled to use the wide spaces. We weren't high and wide. We weren't creating numerical advantages in places that allow you to just get in and out of spaces and change that point of attack to now you have an imbalance of a team, right? The whole idea is to move the ball around, change the point of attack. Now you have a numerical advantage and you attack with emphasis. And I thought that was missing. So against the Mexico squad, who actually really pressed as well, if you saw again in the first half against Costa Rica, especially, and who knows at elevation, how long anybody can hold that up, very difficult to break through. And the U.S. has to be willing to sort of adjust or tinker with their philosophy or style of play or system of play when they get in certain positions of the field so they can spend more time. And I know, Jimmy, you mentioned this yesterday about putting the balls into channels and being able to lump them in behind. That keeps teams honest. That keeps teams honest to where now you get the ball further up the field. Now, when Josh Sargent runs the channels 2-3 times, guess what? Hector Moreno doesn't want to chase Josh Sargent to the channel 3 times. So on the third time, he's either open or maybe he checks back, lays it off, go back up, check back. You play those little mind games that starts to open up spaces them guessing.
Yeah, it makes us more unpredictable, which I think is what you're trying to say. And it does keep them honest. And I do think that, to your point with Hector Moreno, he doesn't want to run the channels. Or even as me as a center back who loved to run, I didn't want to do it because you're running towards your goal. You know you're going to be under a great deal of pressure. Even if you do get to the ball first, either do I pass it back to my goalkeeper and risk that pass? Or do I lump it out of bounds? I don't want to give up a corner. What do I do here? You know? And
you saw that, Jimmy, by the way, with Brooks McKinney. McKenzie. Sorry, I shouldn't.
Your friend, Mark McKenzie.
My friend, my podcast co-host. You know, you saw when they got dragged wide, when they got dragged in the channels, very uncomfortable. You know, they both made a few good plays out there, but they both got beat on a few plays, over committing, feeling very far from their goal and those types of things. If you can pull center backs apart, especially when they're sitting with three of those guys on the Mexico squad, and I guess that they'll play with three, you know, you start to make them be confused as to who steps, who drops, who's my guy. And then if you start to have those staggered runs and those half spaces, you look around and the six doesn't know, do I take Pulisic or do I step out one? Moreno, do I step out one or do I sit back? And you start to have these vulnerabilities, and that's where you start to get combination play in dangerous spaces.
Mm-hmm. No, so what I was going to add, what I thought Honduras did a very good job on Christian Pulisic was that they forced him to go get the ball a little bit deeper. Not only was he frustrated trying to do that, but even when he did get the ball out wide, they always forced him into the middle, Heath. He wasn't necessarily taking where the space was. And the one time or a couple times that he did, when he did go to his left, we actually created, it was at least something dangerous. He got a corner or he hit a cross or something happened that you could feel that Honduras was scrambling a little bit because he finally got isolated in a 1v1 situation. That's when he drops his shoulder right and goes to his left. When he goes to his right, he's running into a lot of traffic, and Mexico had to have watched that game, or their coaching staff will, or they're probably pretty familiar with Christian Pulisic at this point. But what ended up happening was Pulisic would then pick up the ball 40 yards away, maybe in the center circle. And I remember like 10 minutes into the game, he's putting his foot on the ball going, what do I do now? Like who's supporting me? And now our balance is all off. So to your point, if he's dropping that deep to go get the ball, now, if Anthony Robinson isn't creating that width on that left side, we become even more predictable and even more one-sided as we start to kind of slant towards Gio Reyna and Sergiño Dest as Pulisic kind of glides into the middle of the field. And that's not a good setup for us by any stretch of the imagination. So there's going to have to be some discipline from Pulisic as well to trust his teammates to get him the ball. And he has to stay wide so that those passing lanes and those spaces open up so that he can do what he wants to do. But it's obviously a lot easier said than done. And I remember that game in New York. I'm going to reference it again. I was not that I was embarrassed, but I know we're capable of more, and I was frustrated with what I was seeing. But I remember in that game as well thinking Pulisic is dropping way deep to go pick up the ball. And when he picks it up, he's now 60 yards away from goal, trying to run through four Mexican defenders. And guess what they do? He gets past one, they chop him down. He gets past two, they chop him down. They don't care. They're just going to foul. And now, yes, he's one of the most fouled guys. We see him get fouled all over the place. Champions League, Premier League, with the national team. That's just kind of part of who he is, and that's part of his game because he's so quick. But that's what's going to happen here. It's always going to stifle some type of attack that he can generate because of his speed. But the closer we are to the box, they can't do that crap anymore. So that really kind of plays back to what we said when you first started. We got to hit a couple balls over the top to help make sure that we show some verticality. So it'll open up space for these guys underneath that are so good in tight spaces to do their thing. So they're not just always in a bunch of traffic and can't really make any moves.
Yeah, there's a great sentence paragraph in a chapter in Jonathan Wilson's Inverting the Pyramid, where he talks about how when you face a three center back team, it can play to your advantage or disadvantage, meaning that if you have a sole striker.
Well, that sure seems not like very wise words. That's
I'm getting into
an advantage or not an advantage. Those are the only two options, Luis.
Hey, fanny pack. I'm getting in.
Okay. Listen. Sorry for interrupting. I jumped the gun there.
If Greg Berhalter uses a sole striker like he usually does with George Sargent, right? And to your point about, and I was even going to cheerlead your point, Heath. Now I'm not even going. But if George Sargent pushes away one of those center backs like Hector Moreno, right? He's able to create even more space, allowing either somebody like Pulisic or whatever entering and penetrating that side. Because three center backs can be tricky. Because if you don't know how to do it, you can either get lost without the formation line, meaning that you track one of those strikers, allowing a lot of space, or you're super organized, right? That you don't, doesn't matter what comes your way, you have this three center back line. So that's what I meant about disadvantage or advantage. So my point is, both your points, Jimmy's point as well about Pulisic, if he's able to cover that space and allow to help, you know, George Sargent, et cetera, and allow those three center backs of Mexico to kind of feel lost in a way, then it will help them. The problem is, right, is that on the other side of things, you have Martin, who like does such a good job at driving those channels as well. And I think, you know, if Chucky Lozano gets himself more involved. So it's going to be super interesting. So my next question is, Heath, what are the matchups that you're looking at here as these two teams face each other?
Yeah, I think for me, the matchups are going to come down to, and I'll start with the U.S. matchups versus Mexico. And again, it's like you just mentioned, Josh Sargent can occupy those center backs. Well, that means, you know, and I don't think it's going to happen, but I would love to see Gio Reyna be on the inside, put Brendan Aaronson. Gio Reyna is so good at vertically connecting the game that I thought that was missing in this last game, being able to literally connect the lines to be able to advance forward and be able to have combination play on top of the box so that you have one who's willing to drive at players. And then if you have a team that's going to sit back and get really, really deep and sit in their blocks and in a disciplined sense, you have to have a really high level of IQ and technical ability and speed of play to be able to combine and create little spaces, little darting runs, little diagonal runs that put Josh Sargent into better spots. But also with a three back line, that means if you're only playing with one striker, that's where you need to have Gio Reyna and Pulisic and these guys in these pockets, because now again, those are stuck between the lines. And so that's what I really want to see from the US side. Obviously, on the flip side, what we've seen is that even if they do sit back or we break the press, Mexico are so good at baiting you into one, two, three passes where you didn't make the right decision and then they're off. And Chucky Lozano, I thought a lot of their passes were off trying to find him in dangerous spaces. But when he goes one-on-one, there's a good chance always that he brings his attack to a conclusion. He's going to get a shot off. He's going to whip a ball in. He's just got that sort of X factor of a player to him. So him against that back line and the discipline of that back line is going to be really important. And that leads me to my final point on this is that how we press. I think the team that presses better in this game, whether it's a high press or a low press, sitting in lower blocks, that's going to dictate who is the most successful. We saw in stretches, the U.S. is best when they press. You know, you don't want Pulisic, as Jimmy said, coming 60 yards back to get the ball in a build-up play and having to break down a team, because then you need 7, 8, 9, 10 passes to be perfect just to get into a dangerous position. Whereas if you're forcing teams to cough up balls and turnovers in bad spaces and they're exposed, that's when you have guys that can run one-on-one and create those magical moments that the U.S. is capable of. So those are the few matchups that I'm looking most forward to in this final.
What do you think, Jimmy? Because Tata Martino is very familiar with the press as well.
Yeah, no, I think that Mexico's better at pressing than we are. I'll just come out and say that right from the get-go. I think they also know how to adapt within their press. I think they know when to drop off. They have, it seems like when I watch, and I say seems, I'm going to put some exclamation points around that, that they have certain cues that help kind of, maybe it's from one center back to the other, then it's time to go. How are we going to trap? How are we going to try to win it? They seem very organized. And I would say much more so than a lot of other national teams that we see. They seem to have that identity, and that's a testament to kind of how Mexico have developed their players in general. And then you have a Tata Martino, who's an excellent coach at that as well. What I'm going to say is, because the U.S., can be very good on the press as well, to Heath's point, but maybe
they were good against Switzerland, by the way, in the first half. They lack
some consistencies, but I'll add there. And then that they maybe don't know when to go and when to stop as the game wears on, especially after there's some tactical adjustments from the other team. I'm looking at you halftime. And I would say that whatever team takes advantage of what the other team is giving them is going to go on to win the game. And I say this more from a U.S. perspective because we know, or at least I expect Mexico to high press. The U.S. then is going to have to decide, do we have ego and pride in the way we're going to do plan A no matter what, no matter what the consequences are? Or are we going to adapt? Because if the space is behind the back line of Mexico and we have some players that can make good timely runs, and it doesn't always have to be Josh Sargent, he can actually be the one that steps into midfield to try to be the short option. And then as we saw with Christian Pulisic against Real Madrid, he can be the one that runs in behind to get the ball that unlocks everything. If we're looking for those types of things and everybody's on the same page, if everybody's on the same page, the timing can work out great. But it's everybody getting on the same page and everybody being okay with, hey, this is the solution to this play. Mexico is very good at identifying what they're being given, and then they'll take it. And they try to, at times, possession you to death. And I worry about that a little bit. Are we ready to play in Denver in a big final chasing the ball around? And knowing with a crowd that's going to be pro-Mexico.
Yeah.
So,
but Jimmy, weren't you comfortable with that, though, at times you played Mexico? I remember that being part of the theme, is that you might go long stretches without having the ball, but that's when you've got to tune in. That's when you got to lock in. That's when you have your moments where, you know, you start to have a Pulisic, start to cheat up the field a little bit where you can lead into counterattacks. And being comfortable, like you said, if the game gives you that, if they are breaking every one of your presses and you got to sit in and be patient, go side to side to side, how can you stay focused for long periods, adapt to the game and get something out of it, as opposed to this new idea that we have because we have so many good players that we've got to play beautifully for 90 minutes and we've got to play teams off the pitch and we've got to ticky-tacky our way through everything. Sometimes you come out of a game like you do against Honduras and you go, well, that sucked. Hey, but we won. You know,
right.
It goes back to Jimmy's point, though, at the very beginning, right? If there's no plan A, are you worrying about the plan B? Because Greg Berhalter likes to keep the ball. What happens when they don't have the ball, right?
No, it's that's been the thing that's been frustrating me the most is just this blind love for, and no matter what. And I feel like ego and pride does get in the way that, like, we're just going to do this. This is how I want our national team to play. And we need to do this no matter who we're playing against. And I feel like that type of philosophy needs to happen at a much younger national team level. And then as that generation grows up with it, it's going to be very easy for them to play it or to learn how to adapt around it. And I feel like the Mexican national team has kind of grown up into that system a little bit more. Now, fair play to Greg and his staff for trying to implement that. But I think there's a blend there. When we have an opponent where we know we're going to have a lot of the ball, that's when we can get it in play and maybe try to get that more aesthetically pleasing tiki-taka that that I think we're all hoping we get to see. But I also want guys on the field. They're like, listen, we're under a ton of stress,
Jimmy,
right
let
now.
Let me interrupt you real quick there on that one then. Tell me, would you play this team that started in the last game? Or would you change the team?
Well, I don't know if everybody. Hold on.
Before you answer that, we're going to take a break and I want the lineups for this game. So let's do that. We're going to take a break. Right? Gego Lasso will be right back. And Jimmy will answer about his lineup prediction for the USMNT. And we'll give you as well Mexico as well, because I think there's going to be a few changes there. Maybe. So Heath, thank you for the segue. Gego Lasso, we'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Welcome back, everybody, to Gego Lasso, CONCACAF Nations League final preview, USMNT against Mexico, and the consolation game as Honduras face Costa Rica. Heath Pierce, ask that question again, my friend.
Okay, Jimmy Conrad, hello. Mr. Hi, Heath Expert, Pierce. Betting expert, ex-professional footballer, World Cup veteran. I've got a question for you.
Shoot.
Okay. We're talking about plan A, plan B, plan C. That requires a high level of emotional intelligence inside of matches, recognizing moments of how you need to adapt, right? You talked about Mexico. If you saw Mexico, when they're done pressing, you see the whole team just go shift back, and then they start pressing in at a different line. And it's very, very well organized when they're doing it well, especially. So in it, with regard to that, to the U.S. and knowing you're playing against Mexico with a three back line, good in possession, can spread the field on you, make you chase it. Is this the team that you would put on the field for the U.S. or would you make a few changes? Because my changes were move Reyna inside, put Aronson, who can stretch a team and run at players, and is going to put in more of a defensive shift as well, and connect Reyna. Unfortunately, that means you don't have a Sebastian Legette. But I think if the more connected Reyna is to Pulisic, to Sargent, keeping Sargent active, having somebody that feeds off of him when you feed it into his feet, I think that would be the few changes that I would make on the attacking end. What would you do?
Well, give me that lineup, Jimmy.
Yeah. So Stefan and goal, that goes without saying. This is where I'm a bit hung up, because do we match Mexico almost position for position and almost make it somewhat mano-a-mano and put up our own back three? I do think that if you had another player that could potentially play out of the backside, I honestly think that Tim Ream's time with the national team should have been done 2 years ago, but he could potentially provide some type of service here for us because of his passing ability out of the back, which we might need, especially if we're going to be under a lot of pressure. So I throw that in there, and then you could have Robinson and Dest as your wing backs.
James Berhalter. James Berhalter has to give us the lineup. You're giving us speculative things right now. Is Tim Ream your starter?
You just call me James Berhalter? Tim Ream is not my starter.
Hold on, everybody.
James okay. with two so S's.
Do I not have any freedom and to, no, room you to do. Roam and think here?
You do, but I do like the finalized point. So that's a good point, Heath. So Jimmy, give me your final, like the game is literally an hour from now. Give me your lineup.
Oh my God. Well, I just don't trust Dest. He's either not holding the
line.
Just
say it, man.
I'm trying to figure it out.
You're now talking to the press an hour before the game. You're talking about how you don't trust your players. Like, come on.
I'm speaking as the coach.
James Berhalter with two S's.
You know, okay. Scaloni from Argentina was interviewing, right? And he was like, I'll give you the lineup right now. And he gave it. So give me that lineup right
okay,
now.
Okay. All right. I'll go Stefan. I'll go Dest at left back, reluctantly. And I'm going to say this. Sorry, I'm the coach. I'm going to say Dest at left back. I'll put Brooks and McKenzie. That stays. I'm going to put Reggie Cannon in because I think he'll be a nice matchup for Chucky Lozano. I am going to put, if everybody's healthy, Tyler Adams at the holding spot. I am going to take out Legette. I think that either Gio Reyna can go inside with Weston McKennie and Brendan Aaronson. I like that move a lot. But I would also consider Musa if everybody's healthy. And then I got Pulisic, Sargent, I guess it would be Aaronson out wide because Reyna would be inside. So that's who I would go with. And then I'm just going to state it right now as coach, I would be making my subs a lot earlier than the 77th minute.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, definitely. I like that. All right, Heath, give me your lineup.
I'm going to go with the same back line, actually. I thought that the subs, and again, it's so hard because if you've ever played at elevation, you know that when you hit the wall at elevation, there's no coming back. There's not it's not an ebb and flow where you catch your breath and whatever. It's very hard to catch your breath. So when you see a fresh set of legs come in at elevation, you go, wow, they're moving a lot faster than everybody else's. and I thought Cannon did that. I thought Aaronson did that. So I would say let's play Cannon. I'm going to go with Brendan Aaronson.
Well, go from the beginning, man.
Okay. So, yeah. So I have same back line.
Even if it's obvious, go from the
one. Okay, come on, back Heath Berhalter.
Okay. I'm going with same back line as Jimmy. I'm going with Zach
Steffen. Goal, right?
Yeah. Yep. Okay, I'm going to go with Dest, reluctantly.
you both said
because of this, I think
you're not going to say that to the press. Come on, just give us your lineup.
No,
dude.
That's true. I can't say why. But Greg's got a lot to deal with what that's going to be. You got a player at Barcelona who might not be a starter for your national team because it doesn't make sense.
Heath Beers has a lot to deal with right now in this press.
Yeah.
All right.
Geez. Okay. I'm feeling very heated, guys. This light is a little bright on me right now. I didn't think you were going to ask for the lineup in this press conference.
Don't you have a wipe in your fanny pack?
Yeah. Exactly. That's the whole point of the fanny pack is you can live for days out of that thing.
All right, give me your back line.
All right, I got Brooks, McKenzie, and then I've got Cannon because I think he just matches up pace wise. You guys don't need to know that. This is a press conference. I'm going to go Tyler Adams if he's fit and healthy. Jackson Ewell is the only other option you have to sit in front of that back line if he's not. And then I'm going to go with, I've actually changed my mind in real time. No, I'm not. I'm going to go with move our guy Gio Reyna inside, and he's going to play alongside Weston McKennie. And then on the outsides, I'm going Brendan Aaronson to stretch him for 45, 50, 60 minutes, and then Pulisic, and then Josh Sargent up top. And just like our head coach, James with 2S, Conrad Berhalter, I'm going to put in subs a lot earlier in the game. So I'm going to go with Sabichu. If I have to go in early, if there's no way to get, if you don't get Sargent in the game, if he's not running the channels, if you're not able to execute him or use him in the way that he's best for the team, because the game is giving you something different, then you make those subs early and you bring those sparks in because you're going to need those in the final.
All right. So a few things stand out for me from both your lineups. Number one, Reggie Cannon. We're putting a lot of trust into him as he faces clearly Mexico's most dangerous player in Chucky Lozano. Number two, Gio Reyna in the middle. He has to be more involved, being more central. Hopefully, if Tyler Adams is available, that makes that triangle really, really good alongside Weston McKennie as well. And Brendan Aaronson, we're putting a lot of faith into him. I think we saw a lot in those last minutes with him. And of course, get those subs in a little earlier. And I like it. I like everything that you guys just said, especially because the elevation is going to require those subs to come in later. All right, I want to move to Mexico for a second. Because, you know, there's a few things here, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Tecatito Corona didn't even play. And I'm wondering his availability for this one. I'll give you very quick my lineup for Mexico. Okay, Memo Ochoa, three center backs. I think you got Edson Alvarez in there, of course. Hector Moreno, Araujo with those three center backs. Herrera and Guardado in the middle. You have to have that experience from La Liga and, of course, of all those years as well. Uriel Antuna remains. I don't know. I think Jesus Gallardo might start this one ahead of maybe Arteaga. So, and then you remain. And then if Tecatito Corona is available, you put him in there. Chucky Lozano, and in the middle, I still think you stick with Martin because his availability and production that he does off the ball is remarkable. So I think Tecatito Corona remains a mystery to me because he obviously wasn't available for the Costa Rica game, but would he be available for this one? And if he is, my God, that's another nightmare as well to deal with. What do you think, Jimmy?
Well, I think that would be probably a straight swap. So Lyonnais, I think, would probably make way for Tecatito, all things considered. So then it just depends on which one you want to be a super sub. If he's coming back from a muscle injury, that's not somebody you start, I think, in this type of altitude, potential heat and all that. I think maybe he'd come on as a sub. Obviously a very dangerous sub to see Tecatito come on with 15, 20 minutes left to go to be like, oh, great, sweet. Now I got to chase this guy around. and Tuna, for me, I do like what he's done with Chivas Guadalajara this season, and he helped the Mexican national team or the Olympic team qualify for the Olympics. I think he's got something special to his game, but here is some inconsistency there. And he played a season with the Galaxy, so a lot of people should be familiar with him, all the MLS fans. Arteaga is a good one for me. I could see potentially Carlos Rodriguez coming in and maybe helping solidify on a more defensive mindset, especially with Pulisic.
Also, didn't play at all against Costa Rica, but it doesn't matter. Right?
He didn't. So I wonder if there's a thought there that, listen, Antuna can come out and maybe help us attack against Costa Rica, but when it comes down, maybe we need some little bit more to kind of help cover Gio Reyna or Christian Pulisic or Dest if he's bombing forward. You have someone who's thinking a little bit more defensively than Antuna does. So I could see Carlos Rodriguez coming in. Everywhere else, though, I agree with you. I think those will be the starting lineup. This is going to be a great game, though, and a great test, not only for them, you know, but I think we're pretty familiar with who they are and what they're about, but definitely for our team.
Yeah. Heath, what do you, anything from Mexico's perspective?
Oh, I think you guys are, I pretty much agree with that lineup. I actually thought Diego Lainez was pretty good. Mm-hmm. In terms of just being busy, being active on both sides of the ball, I thought that was a huge strength. So when it comes to Tecatito Corona, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, is it worth the risk, or is it, you know, or the potential reward of that, or can you get 30 out of him at his best? Knowing that he's nursing something, or can you avoid it altogether if you don't have to, like kind of emergency situations only. And Tuna was Mexico's best player in Olympic qualifying. You know, he was actually a player where you're like, wow, this guy is incredible and able to take over those games. But again, you're playing against a US squad. And if you saw in the first half against Honduras, Gio Reyna was really good at running at players and forcing Honduras to recover quickly and track back, and, you know, forced a few fouls, and he was going inside, he was going outside, and you need teams or players that have the ability to commit to both sides of the ball. And again, when you're talking about elevation, there is a real struggle. Maybe it's just me and I suffered from it more playing at elevation, but it is a real thing. And you have to pick and choose your moments. But first and foremost, when you're playing for a trophy like this, you want to make sure that everybody knows that we get behind the ball, we recover, we track back, you know, we do all those sort of fundamentals in order to give your team the best chance of preventing a team that's very good in the US from scoring, and then pick and choose your moments to be able to attack and try to score against them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And listen, this midfield battle is going to be really interesting if these lineups are facing a lot of experience and a lot of young talent. And if Giorena goes in the middle, ooh, that would be fun. Any final thoughts from this game before we, you know, have a few words on the consolation game, Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm just going to say for betting tips, I pretty much bet the over on both semifinals. Man, those are big misses. So I'll raise my hand and accept responsibility. I thought we would see some goals, especially because they're playing in altitude. As everybody got tired with heavy legs, there's just going to be some opportunities. There were opportunities. People just
early on too. If they finished,
I know
those games. If just anybody scored, it could have
it would have opened up, right? I know. So I'm really looking at it from a betting perspective on William Hill at the under. The draw and under 2.5 goals after 90 minutes, and then it'll go into penalties. +260 is the favorite line. Mexico to win and over 2.5 goals is the next favorite at +340. Then Mexico to win and under 2.5 goals is +375. I don't really like the tone that William Hill's taking right now with regard to the U.S.'s chances. But I really like, if I'm going to go with my heart, that's probably not the right way to go when you're betting. But USA to win and under 2.5 goals at +450 is something I'm really looking at. I think that's pretty good value if you think the U.S. can somehow salvage a 1-0 win. I think that would probably be the extent of it. But I could see a 1-1. Drawing under 2.5 goals at +260 is probably what I'm thinking and hoping for as well, because I would really like to see the U.S. stand up, and just play well, right? Take ownership of who they are, what they're about, and own their space, both individually and collectively against a team that's going to test them. I mean, Mexico, anytime I played against Mexico, their national team or their club teams, they just run at you until you prove to them that you can play. That's how they play. And then once you show that you can demonstrate some composure and you can play a little bit, they back off because then they show you that respect. But if you can't play when they put that pressure on, they're going to come at you and they're going to come at you and they're going to come at you and they're going to keep squeezing until you've got nothing left. And then you're going to be tired because you're chasing the ball around as well. So this is, I can't emphasize enough how important this game is for us on our side of things. And I just don't think it's going to go over 2.5 goals. I think this is going to be very similar to the 2019 Gold Cup final between these two, when Jonathan Dos Santos had to score a banger of a goal to beat us 1-0. Josie Altidore had a good chance on that one. Josie Altidore scores early in that one. That game's much, much different, of course. But there weren't a lot of clear-cut chances, and I think we're going to see that again. I think the U.S. will be definitely tight between the lines, and I think Mexico's going to high press, and I think there's going to be a lot of action going on in the middle of the field until somebody can figure out how to have that composure and unlock some things. But that's what I'm thinking about from a odds perspective.
I love it.
The only thing I wanted to add to that, Luis, is, and this is sort of my closing thoughts on this, is particularly for the U.S., is if you go down a goal, stay in it. Mm-hmm. Because as Jimmy just mentioned, Mexico will wear you down. And when you work as hard as you work for 45, 60, 70 minutes against Mexico and they score a goal, it can feel deflating. It can feel exhausting because you've just put in all of this work and something comes out of nothing, and it can happen that way. I've played in these in Mexico games and it's exhausting, right? You come out of this and you go, man, we were doing so well. We had our chances. And now Mexico, who's got possession, are up 1-0 and they're going to spread out. The Olays are going to happen. There's going to be beer showers coming from the stadium. It's going to be a very pro-Mexico crowd. And you can just feel this overwhelming just sensation that's happening. And so it's about just staying patient, waiting for those moments. You saw again against Honduras, the U.S. I thought did a good job. I don't even think the U.S. were very good at all in that game. There were some bright moments, but they found an opportunity at the end to show their quality, to get away with that. And I think you can get that against Mexico, is 1-2 half chances, even if that doesn't come from winning the possession game and they're frustrating you because now you've got players high and wide in all these positions and they're running you to death, especially at altitude. That's the main point I wanted to make, is just stay in it. You go down, it's not over. Do not get frustrated. Do not get pulled out of position. Do not get sort of, go off in no man's land where you're just everybody's thinking about themselves, because it can get ugly very quick with Mexico and they can run away with it. They want to run away with it. They want you to be like, man, we tried so hard. And then they will just punish you over and over again. And they can do it in a number of ways, not just with possession.
I've seen it. I had a concussion, so I was in the stands for the 2009 Gold Cup final in New York.
Yeah, Jimmy, I didn't want to bring it up. I played in that game. I didn't want to talk about it.
I have to bring it up because it was 0-0 at half. And then all the things that you mentioned, we got pulled apart, and then they ended up.
It was a penalty on the first goal, right?
Yeah, it was right.
Jay Heaps.
Yeah,
gave a penalty, I believe.
That's right.
And yeah, it was the same sort of thing. It was 100 and something degrees on the pitch level. It was really, really hot. It was a sellout at Giant Stadium of all Mexico crowd for the most part. I'm big up the American fans that went there, but it was you were playing in Mexico City at that point, and Yeah, they stretch you out. They start taking more touches. They start drawing fouls. They start getting the crowd involved. They start doing all these little things that have these factors on your ability to stay composed. And if you can block that out with these players that all play at big clubs in big situations, stressful environments, I think they have that mental edge. I hope that they have that at the international level. That will keep you in it because there's always one more chance against Mexico that could bring you back in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, give me your score prediction, man. I'm not going to let you just get away with it.
Oh gosh, I completely forgot about that. I'm going to go, and I liked Jimmy's under there, KG Affair. I'm going to go with 1-1 in at the end of regulation.
Yeah, because this goes into extra time, everybody. Because the final goes into extra time.
Yeah, so then I'm saying 2-1 for the U.S. in extra time.
All right.
Whoa, there you go. There you have it. And I believe William Hill's being not that kind to the USMNT because they still remember Rob Green. I think that's probably
yeah.
Too soon.
Too soon. Well, there you have it. Oh well, listen, actually. Consolation game very quickly, mm-hmm. Jimmy. You know, they gave the USMNT and Mexico a good fight, Costa Rica and Honduras. So, what do you expect in this one?
Well, I expect it to be cagey. I know that there's not as much to play for, only getting third in this new competition. What I think the value is for both teams and for both coaches for both teams is we finally get another meaningful game. There's a crowd there. We can start to kind of really start to get into a mindset of what World Cup qualifying is going to look like. And they're going to be working on tinkering with their own things, what their best lineup is, what the best formation is. And what I like is that these two teams feel somewhat even. I think if we look at it on the balance, Costa Rica probably have a little bit better attacking players. So I'm kind of curious now that maybe when they're not such the heavy underdogs, and I'm speaking about Honduras now, will they come out and play a little bit? Will they try to extend themselves and maybe play a different style than they would against the Mexico or the U.S. So that'll be interesting to see. And I think they have to figure that out. But again, to have a meaningful game for both of these nations is massive as they start to prepare for the Gold Cup and then World Cup qualifying.
Yeah. I don't know. I see goals in this one. What do you think, Heath?
I think there could be goals. Again, it's just so hard to know. You know, you go back to, I think Honduras has played 5 games since the start of 2020. They only won one of those, and that was against Trinidad at the Nations League quarterfinal. So this is another competitive match where they get to judge themselves. If you're looking at Honduras, you actually come out of that U.S. game and go, it's pretty good. Yeah. We matched up against the greatest generation in U.S. soccer history, like, you know, of young players. We created a lot of chances. We could have scored goals. We could have been up 2-0 at one point against the U.S., although the U.S. did have a few chances within there as well. So that's a huge positive to take away from that in a meaningful game. Obviously, it's devastating because you're like, we were moments away from penalties, or we were moments away, you know, a half chance away from being in a final. And that hurts. And the same thing for Costa Rica, you know, to go down on penalties after being up in penalties, it's another meaningful match to grow. Obviously, there's not really a value in third place in the Nations League, I don't think. But there is an opportunity to start to create a little bit of a hierarchy within CONCACAF as we head into World Cup qualifying. These games matter. And when you go into World Cup qualifying, you're going to talk about, remember in Denver, we played like this, they played like that. These are the strengths. These are the weaknesses. We were able to get away with the things. Here's the things that we can get better at. So it's a chance to really dial in all these things that will come in handy later on, because you can say that this is disconnected because it's a consolation game, but this is very much connected to the next time these two teams are going to have to play in qualifying, and the next time that they have to play in these games of consequence. So yeah, I think overall I like Costa Rica's chances. They seemed a lot more dangerous than I expected them to be actually in the attack. And so I'm going to go with Costa Rica to win this one, also because they've got enough experience in these types of games that I can see Costa Rica being able to come out of this inaugural CONCACAF Nations League with something to show for it.
Final score?
I'm going to go 2-1. It's such a lazy take, but like, you know, I just want goals.
Until it hits.
Yeah, until it hits.
If it hits, you're a genius. Yeah. Put all that cash in your fanny pack.
Well, dude, that's a lot of cash to put into a fanny pack. You know what I mean? Hey, but that's what the fanny pack's for.
Exactly. And the wipes as well. Jimmy Conrad, final score prediction for that one.
I'm going to stay with under. I just think that for whatever reason, after what I saw last night as well, I think it's going to be 1-0. I'll give it to Honduras here. No Keylor Navas. I think that I liked what I saw from Honduras. I thought they really stuck to the game plan and were a little unlucky not to get more out of that game. And Costa Rica obviously did what they needed to do to get a result to take it to penalties. But I'll give it to Honduras just for fun. The big H, the big giant H on their jerseys, which I love. That's like
the, can we all agree that that's the coolest? That's the coolest.
What did I tell you yesterday, Heath? What did I tell you yesterday?
That crest is pretty sweet, man.
I love it.
My name is Heath. I would wear that stuff all the time. Like it's not often that you just see a logo that is an H and you
it's
go, yeah,
so I good. Get it. It's so good. It's white, just an age. It's like, where Honduras? What? I love it. I'm going to go with Honduras as well. I think it's going to be 2-1. 2-1 to Honduras in regular time. Wow. We'll see what happens.
Don't sit by me during that game.
I probably won't. I'll be behind you. I don't know. All right, everybody. Well, that was it. That was our CONCACAF Nations League final preview. Don't forget, it's on Paramount Plus. All the coverage that you need will be on CBS Sports HQ as well. Jimmy Conrad, Heath Pierce. Jimmy, thank you so much, brother.
Thank you, guys. And everybody watching and listening at home, enjoy the game.
HP, thanks, man.
Thanks for having me. And also, by the way, I heard in these doubleheader games that on the weekend games that the U.S. doubles in size of attendance and people flying in. So I expect there to be a much larger crowd come the final. And I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be a great atmosphere. Thank you so much, everybody. Hey, everybody. I want to thank Jimmy Conrad and Heath Pierce for joining me today. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Que Golazo Pod. Please leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Spotify, on Stitcher. If you're watching this, you know that we're on YouTube, youtube.com/Que Golazo. Please subscribe. We are on cbsports.com. I hope you enjoy the CONCACAF Nations League final preview. We have plenty more after this, including Euros preview, Copa America, and so much more with the transfers and the contracts on all the players, ins and outs, with our talented and our great Fabrizio Romano as well. So plenty more to come from Que Golazo. Have a great, great rest of your day.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.